Hello, everybody. My name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Weber.
What's up, Smith? Hello, hello.
All right, I'm Smith, and that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Thank you for joining this. This is already episode number 7 here at the Wager Makers Podcast. It's flying by. We got a bunch in the can. Man, football season for real, the real deal is right around the corner. I'm so tired of talking about some of these stories that get blown out of proportion during the off season. These are off season stories. You know, we're talking about people's feet, people's helmets, contracts, bullshit here and there. Really looking forward to real games. We mentioned about the Florida and Miami real game coming up. We also touched a little bit last week on the Hawaii, Arizona. So we actually have real games to talk about. We touched on it a lot last week. We're going to emphasize again how we feel about that Florida Miami game. We got a lot of stuff coming up tonight. I'm going to talk a lot about actually gambling at a sports book. It can be kind of intimidating sometimes if you're not sure and haven't been there before. A lot of people are used to just betting with their buddy or with a bookie or something online. So it can be intimidating. You walk in there with the big board of numbers and everything. Everybody looks like they know what they're doing, like at a casino. And this is your first time there. You can run into some issues. We're going to talk about the NBA season got announced a week or two ago. We'll talk about some trends we see over there. And we're going to start with baseball, Webb. We won't talk too much about baseball betting. It can be a little bit different. A lot of people, when you're coming up, you're used to seeing point spreads and things like that on football games. There's a little more math involved with the baseball and with money lines and things like that.
I was told there'd be no math involved.
Listen, if there's one thing I know, you've learned. If we learn math, we learn it this way. They should have done that in school.
I know gambling math and darts math.
Right, right. I know what 9-2 means real fast. We're kind of fractions. So Webb, I know you went to the Borgata in Atlantic City a week or two ago. What stands out to you when you walk into a sports book, or if you have some baseball bets that you want to do, that people that might not be used to going into a sports book might be wanting to look for?
Well, the first thing, I mean, it's sports books to me. It's Vegas is a completely different animal. These sports books you have now, there's one here locally at Monmouth Park. They're smaller in comparison to what you see in Vegas. I don't know if you've been to Vegas, but brand new, but smaller. So there's just a bunch of TV screens and there's a bunch of tote boards, meaning a board just with the games scrolling, almost like a ticker, with the odds, the current odds and scores. So, The first thing you do, you walk into a sportsbook, just look around, take a look around, grab yourself a drink, and then you'll see off to the side there'll be a bunch of different, almost like folders or whatever, different files. You just grab a couple sheets of paper, and it'll give you the daily lines. The biggest thing to remember is when you walk into a sportsbook, you got to put the money up front. So if you're going to bet, you want to win $100 on a game, you're going to have to hand them $210. That's the biggest thing versus betting with a bookie. So you need to lay some money up front. Actually in betting, I did some baseball bets. I did mostly we hit a couple overs that day. Yankees over in particular was a decent one for us, but a historic day today, Smith, Justin Verlander, an Astro is laying 5.26 today. And I think it's tied 1-1 against the Tigers. So that's interesting. So minus 5.26, what that means, you're going to wager, you're risking $526 to win 100.
Right.
So that's not the best bet you want to do, but and that's going to bring us to the second thing I want to talk about, was the action versus listed. So if you're on whatever FanDuel or something like that, you can place a bet and it's going to say action listed. And most people, I think action comes up as a default, but you always want to list your pitcher. So tonight, for instance, if you wanted to bet the Astros and you just hit action, you were going to lay 5.26 over 5.25. 2-1, and if you don't list Verlander, if Verlander gets a blister or stubs his toe, whatever, falls down the bullpen steps or whatever, you're going to lay 5-1, 5.26 with whoever that spot starter is. So always list your starting pitcher. Some guys I know would insist on listing both pitchers, but my thing is just list a guy that I want going on the mound. So
Right, that's a big risk to take if you lay in the five Bills and you think Verlander's going out there and all of a sudden he twists an ankle or something like that in pregame warmups.
Right, exactly.
And you're like, you got their sixth starter out there all of a sudden, or some bullpen guy, or starter by committee kind of thing, and you're out there laying 500 bones to win 100. And it's interesting that's one of the biggest baseball lines in history. It's been about 10 years at least since a line that high, and right now it's in the bottom of the eighth, one out. Astros have a man on first, right? And it's tied up right now. And just about a week ago, we were on the Orioles against the Astros, and the Orioles were at about almost plus 350 or something, so that was a really big one. And we actually, you can check us out on sportswatchmonitor.com, and that's a big one, that big underdog that we hit last week. We stayed away from this one today. Obviously if you were on the underdog and if you were on the Tigers today, you're looking close and checking that game closely. So
you're definitely in it to win it on the Tigers. And I think one of the things that drew us to the Orioles that day, I think the Astros scored like 16 runs the night before or something like that, maybe even more. So that's always something to watch too. If someone goes for, 15 plus runs tonight, think about going against them tomorrow, especially on a decent dog like that. And it's interesting, too, because they were saying if the Astros went for 8 or 9 runs today, Gerrit Cole goes tomorrow. So they're saying he was looking at maybe minus 600 tomorrow. So that may not be the case, especially if
the Astros end up losing today, it may be possibly it might even be higher, tomorrow. It might even be a bigger line tomorrow. Thinking the Astros are going to bounce back at home tomorrow. So we'll see. That's interesting to look at there. What about when you're at the sports book and you see there's all the different bets and there's prop bets, how do you feel about maybe you can explain a little bit about teasers or buy-in points or parlays or some of those other bets that are out there? What's your feel on those?
Well, growing up, I mean, it's always the word on the street was the bookie loves it anytime you mess with a line. So anytime you tease it, parlay it, anytime you add something to winning one wager, that swings the odds in the bookie's favor. So I don't do too many teasers or parlays. I mean, maybe if you're up a couple dollars, maybe a three-team parlay, $50 parlay pays $200, something like that. Teasers are interesting because, I mean, that's exactly the perfect description. Tease, you're going to take it. You bet a three-team parlay in college football, and you're taking Bama, from 34 down to 24, Clemson from 28 to 18, and who else are we looking at? Georgia from 18 to 8. So it's very enticing. It certainly teases you, but now you got to win three games to win that same, initial bet, $100, $50 bet. So I'm not big on teasers, parlays. Straight bets are the best. If you have something, just whack that straight bet and then go with your B and C games a little bit less. Buying a half point, though, I am a huge proponent of always buying a half point, especially if you're at, a $50, $100, even up to $500 level in terms of your wagers. You're going to lay an extra 10%, meaning if you're going to bet, let's say, let's take a look at that Florida game. It's minus 7.5. If you can buy that down to 7, you're typically going to lay 120 versus 110, meaning you're going to lay you're going to lose 120 versus losing 110 if they somehow don't cover that 7. Smith, well, I don't know. I tried to talk you into that several times. I don't know. You're not big on the buying a half point thing.
I'll agree that in football, there's a huge difference between a line sometimes being 3.5 or a line being 7.5 compared to 7 or 3.5 compared to 3. My feeling is if you are not confident enough by a half a point, then maybe you should stay away from that game. That's kind of where I come from with that. If you think that a half a point difference is going to make or break the wager that you're making, I say find another game. We talked a little bit about this Florida game coming up, and I mentioned, I like it at 7. I like it at 7.5. I like it at 8. I like Florida. I'm sure the money line's real high. I think Florida blows out this game, and I'm not gonna pay a little extra to try and get a little extra. As far as the parlay situation, to me, it's difficult. Anybody that's out there that's been a bettor knows it's difficult to win a game. It's difficult to win one game. It's difficult to win one game with a point spread. It's difficult to win on money line. It's difficult to win games. The only time I do like trying to do parlays is occasionally if you're up quite a bit, maybe you can go for the jug, you know, go for the big win by maybe do a two team or three team parlay. Try and minimize your loss and try and go for the big win. That's sometimes when I like to use the parlay. But in general, especially if you're down and I know guys that have. When they're down, they try and go with the parlays. I'm like, man, when things aren't going against you, you already had a hard time winning one bet at a time. You're down, and now you think you're gonna hit three in a row all of a sudden. You know, and if you are, why don't you just do that straight up? And if you go 2-1, at least you're getting a little bit of money back. You're getting a little crack back. You know, if you go 3-0, great. But that's my feel on the parlay situation.
Yeah, I can't agree more on that. Like you said, it's tough. It's difficult enough to go 1-0, and now you're trying to go, 2-3-0 just to get it. It is up on the parlay. It's obviously you get a little bit more better odds, but I agree. Let's go three straight bets, and like you said, go 2-1, and we'll take it from there.
Right. So yeah, we'll see how this Astros game turns out. If you have any questions for us, we'd love to hear from them. You go to thewagermakers@gmail.com or Facebook at the Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter at the Wager Makers, Instagram at the Wager Makers. And again, we're out there on Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, Stitcher, and a bunch of other places where you can get your podcast. So we'd love to hear from you. You can message us on Facebook. Webb, the NBA schedule came out last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it too much. Did you take a look at that, and do you see any trends going on with the NBA schedule?
Well, I mean, I think it's funny. I think they're trying to pad the schedule in favor of the Lakers there a little bit to kind of get them off to a good start, to at least keep them relevant as we get going, as you know, as it gets in past Christmas into the new year, to make sure that LeBron is in it at least to keep everybody tuning in. I didn't see too much. It was interesting. I saw something that come out that people said Cam Reddish is going to have a better career than Zion. I'm not sure how they base that. And the schedule's tough over here. I mean, the Brooklyn's supposed to be good. The Knicks have been horrible since, I guess, 1995. There's nothing really. The West is much better than the East. But I guess the biggest trend, like I said, is just they're trying to get LeBron, first foot forward, get him going, and make sure that he's relevant come end of the year.
Right. I'm so happy, man. There was so much buzz here in town about Zion coming to New Orleans. I don't remember people being this fired up about an NBA preseason. As long as the 25 years I've lived here, people can't wait for Zion to get here. He's got the right attitude. He seems like he's saying all the right things. He seems happy to be here after the AD situation. It's just a breath of fresh air. As far as the NBA schedule goes, I noticed they moved a lot of those West Coast games a little bit earlier, especially the primetime games and stuff like that. I know for you, Webb, on the East Coast, sometimes they'll have those West Coast games will be starting at 10:30. I think with Kawhi and George on the West Coast, with obviously LeBron and AD and the Golden State Warriors, obviously they play all on the West Coast, and even Portland out there has a real solid team all the time.
Sure,
they play right. I mean, it's a tough deal if it's a Tuesday night, you live on the East Coast and the game starts at 10:30. It's a difficult deal to stay up. What are you going to stay up till 1 a.m.? You got to go to work the next day. You know, so they did a lot of things to promote the Lakers and the West Coast teams. My only issue here is, well, I got a bunch of issues with LeBron and AD. Yes. And I guess this is the first chance we get a chance to talk about this a little bit. The way this went down, I think, is ridiculous for the NBA. And now they're even catering to it by changing these game schedules and trying to make sure everybody gets to see the big bad Lakers with LeBron who recruits. And the way this went down with AD, still had time on his contract, went to the team. Instead of going to the team in private, it leaks out, whether it's leaked out by him or his people or what happens. It was just handled poorly. You know, to me, this collusion between players, and it's one thing if you're on the last year of your contract. AD was not. He still had time. I mean, this collusion between players and LeBron and this pact between players, it It really ruins the NBA. It really hurts the small market teams. New Orleans, we had a ping pong ball go our way. So everybody's feeling better about it right now. But if that didn't happen, man, I'd be pretty pissed off. The fan base here of New Orleans would be pretty pissed off. And the way it was handled was crappy. And the fact that the NBA is still behind this and going on. I mean, look, I don't want to sound like an old fart here. But, there's a lot of talk about, who's the greatest, LeBron or Michael Jordan. And there's a lot of talk, I don't want to be the guy that acts like, oh, man, the new NBA where guys are teaming up with guys and all that. I can't imagine in our day, Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas getting together and saying, hey, man, here's what we got to do. We got to all get together on a team and we'll win a bunch of championships. LeBron's done it a couple times already. Look, I think he's a great, great player. But anybody who thinks that he and Michael Jordan are on the same level, to me, I know this is a debatable fact, is out of their mind. Nobody had a better will to win and desire and hate to lose than Michael Jordan. And he even took his lumps early in his career. It didn't just happen overnight. When we were growing up, it was the Lakers and the Celtics, and then they had to give room a little bit to the bad boys. Eventually, they got older. Isaiah Thomas and the guys.
Sixers were in there for a minute, too.
Yep. And, I'm not a fan of this teaming up and everything in the NBA. And the way, especially, I am not a fan of the LeBron AD team. I'm tongue-tied here because it just pisses me off so bad. The way it was handled. I'm glad Zion's here. He's saying all the right things. He's going to be great, great ambassador for the city. He acts like he's happy to be here. AD, if you're supposed to be number one, like so many people, the supposed experts think AD is top five mm-hmm. NBA player. Dude, you've been here 7 years and won one playoff series.
Yep.
One playoff series in 7 years, and it can't be all the dudes around you's fault.
Well, you want to talk about Michael Jordan? It was him, Scottie Pippen, and me, you, Garjul, and Mike Lynch out there winning championships. Man, he did it with nobody, like you said, just on sheer desire, will to win, and refusal to lose. And what you're saying, I can't. I mean, what LeBron did when the first thing to Miami, when he had that press conference and he came out like, I don't know what the fuck he thought he was or what they thought they were doing. It was a couple of guys, like you said, colluded and decided let's make an all-star team down in Miami. They made a big circus out of it. And I think that they won one, which is, that's an accomplishment, but they didn't win every year. I mean, I think the Mavericks beat them 1 year. So,
right.
And with the NBA, even more so, I mean, you're seeing it, and it's moved itself into the NFL with Antonio Brown. But the NBA contract means nothing. Look what happened with AD, like you said. And even worse, I think, than that was the Paul George situation and how Kwame, Cully dictated that and only would go to the Clippers if the Clippers could somehow manipulate OKC to get Paul George out of there. And then you have Toronto, who just won a championship, the whole country was, floating on air. And then, they're kind of left with an empty, a barren closet there. And then LA's got, one, two, three, four superstars, three superstars, three brand new superstars between the two teams. So, yeah, I can't, for not to sound like we're grumpy old men here, but that's right, a bunch of bullshit, right. how it works. And, why sign a contract?
Right. And then, the Lakers, look, nobody's here looking for anybody to have injuries. Nobody likes to see a player get injured, nothing like that. But that just gets us to, I want to talk about Boogie Cousins for a little bit, because he was mm-hmm. here for a short stay here in New Orleans. Was kind of a pain in the ass here. Thought he could go to Golden State last year and get himself a win. Now he ran on over to the Lakers. He thinks he's going to hang out with LeBron and AD, get himself a win. This dude's old. He's beat up. He's banged up. He's the kind of guy that's a cancer in every locker room he's ever been in. He's never won anywhere. He's a big brute. There's nothing worse than seeing a big old dude hang out at the 3-point line the whole game instead of playing ball like he could be. Now look, he's got great skills because he can do that once in a while. But get your ass down there, play some D. He's the kind of guy to control a game. But now he's just a big baby. And I don't want to see him in public. I hope you know, I hope we get a lot of people listening to this
you
podcast.
Hope he's on crutches.
But if Boogie Cousins is out there, don't beat me up for this. I'm trying to get my podcast going here. So
I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna reel you back here a little bit. Boogie, you want to talk Boogie Cousins 3 or 4 years ago? Yeah, absolutely, complete cancer, no defense. Give me the ball, I'm gonna shoot it. I play, you know, he's like Bugs Bunny in a cartoon. He's playing point guard, he's playing small forward, he's playing shooting guard, and he's playing center. When it those years when he was on the Kings, but I think when I don't begrudge anybody going when he went to Golden State, that the league was like that. He didn't create that. He was just going, and they offered him a contract. He took it. He got hurt, which is unfortunate. No one, like I said, we're not rooting for that. But he worked his ass off, I think, trying to come back, at least get into the finals, and at least contribute to trying to win a championship. I'm not going to pile on him as much as you. And going to the Lakers, dude needed a job coming to this year. He lost a shit ton of money. These guys are making $12, $15, $20 million, and half of them suck. So I'm not going to begrudge him for going to the Lakers this year. And I think he gave it, you know, an honest 110% effort, at least to get back into a game in the finals last year. I actually felt bad for him a little bit this year. And then you want to talk about another mutt. I mean, they're working out Joakim Noah. They're working out Dwight Howard. There's another name on that list I saw. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, cashing a check and mailing it in. I mean, there's a guy right there. I think Joakim Noah at least worked his ass off when he was with Chicago, the Knicks. I don't know what happens when people come to the Knicks, but I mean, so there's other guys I think we can kind of bang on a little bit more. Rajon Rondo's on the Lakers. There's another guy. I mean, there's knuckleheads galore. So I'm going to give Boogie a little bit of a break, at least the past 3 or 4 years.
Either way, I'll tell you this. The Lakers will be a great team to hate this year, if you're into that sort of into it. And the only thing that make them more hateable is if they pulled Dwight Howard in there. That dude at a time had the most athletic. That dude had the most athletic ability than anybody in the NBA, and couldn't play with Kobe. Couldn't play with Kobe.
Right,
he could have 10. Right. They could have 10 rings by now.
Yeah.
Man, Dwight Howard. He's another one. Can't play with somebody else. Well, what did you do by yourself? Nothing. Cash checks. Dude's shoulder radius is 10 feet wide, and he can jump up out of the gym, and he can't play with Kobe Bryant to get a couple championships.
Yep.
You get me started.
Yeah,
so here's the deal. I hate the Lakers. I hope they lose every game. And on the East Coast, you'll get a chance to watch it at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. And for now on, AD is known as LB on this show. That's LeBron's bitch. AD is LeBron's bitch, and that's it. Man, I'm getting fired up.
You go.
We need football to come on.
Yes, right. We need some real action. We need some real game action.
Talk about this stuff. People's damn frostbite feet and helmets and bullshit. And I gotta get fired up talking about AD.
Talking about the NBA. It's August 22nd.
Tip off an half an hour early and get me all pissed off.
But we know where to go, everybody. As soon as we all get Smith going, we know where we're going. But let's kind of segue over to my man Jerry Jones, man. You see how he took care of business? How about that? He said, I earned it. Don't mess with Jerry Smith.
What do you think he meant? Well, what do you think he meant when he said he earned it to make fun of Zeke?
Well, you know, Zeke's an idiot. He's one of these knuckleheads. He's a young kid. He hadn't had a hard day in his life. He was the biggest recruit in the state of Missouri when he was a kid. And he's been in trouble twice now, even more than that, maybe three times. He's already been suspended. He's had two issues since that suspension. And Jerry's been in his corner, his biggest champion. And Jerry does that with all his players. He's had a number of knuckleheads, you know, right or wrong. In the last, I guess it's been 30 years, 25 years, and Jerry's in, he's the biggest player's advocate, sticks up for his players more than any other owner out there. And he wants to give the guy a little jab. The dude's under contract for the next 2 years, and then after that, they get franchises there. So literally, Jerry Jones controls this dude's future for the next 3 years.
Yep.
If he wants to poke a little fun, Dak's in camp, Cooper's in camp. They just signed Jalen Smith. You didn't hear a peep out of that, dude. Come on, man. Jerry can do what he wants. He bailed him out, and he would do it again today if Zeke got in trouble. But it's got to be both ways, man.
Right. I agree. Well, I really got a kick out of that. The press conference yesterday when they when Jerry signed signed Jalen Smith for a big time contract, because he came out that same year and they kind of took a flyer on him in the second round. He was injured coming out of college. And now, you know, all this dude does is prove himself on the field and work his ass off to get back in there. And guess what? Jerry Jones put his money where his mouth was. You know,
and then
Jerry Joe, you know, so the other day during the preseason game, I guess Zeke was in Cabo. He's flying back to Dallas. He landed in Dallas, and then he heard Jerry Jones this little comment. He said, "Zeke, who?" You know, I guess the backup running back had a nice game the other night.
Yep.
So, next thing you know, I think he flew back to Cabo. You know, I just this dude, man, and you know, when you pay guys this much, you know, you're looking for guys that are going to be the face of your franchise. You're going to be looking for guys that are going to be stand-up guys that you know you're going to win a game on Sunday, and you're going to be able to go home, and the guy's going to show up to practice on Tuesday morning and not hear some newspaper article about he was drunk driving on Sunday night or Monday, or about how, you know, some kind of shit happened with him Sunday or Monday night. I just don't know if you have that same sense with Zeke. We'll see what happens, but I'll tell you, Jerry Jones is sticking to his guns. He came out today too, said same kind of thing. Look, I had every right to make a little joke. You know, I've been and he's going to stand by his guns. Look, he's been here before. He's been here in 1993. This dude had battled with Emmitt Smith. With Emmitt Smith, you think he's worried about Zeke? I say no.
Off of the championship, they went 0-2. Emmitt didn't play the first two games, come back, and they won another championship. Yep. Jerry Jones, when the NFL wants to go and renegotiate the deals with whatever Fox and ESPN or whatever it is, Jerry Jones, the first dude that walks in the door. I don't know what Zeke or whatever his name is, or Archambault or whatever his agent's name is. They don't know who they're messing with, man. They're out of their league. They're out of their depth when they're messing with Jerry Jones. Out of their depth. And like you're saying, I mean, with Zeke, you go to sleep, Jerry Jones is going to go to sleep. Say they sign him tomorrow. Tomorrow starts Friday night. Jerry's got to, you know, he's going to be sleep with one eye open, wondering what this knucklehead's going to do with all that money he just gave him.
Right.
Jalen Smith, Jerry's, you know, he's sending Jalen Smith, you know, to do whatever, you know, to talk to somebody in the hospital or something.
Right.
Zeke, you know what he's going to do. He's going to, you know, so. Right. Just drastically different worlds. And again, I mean, we talked about this last time. It's not what the money Zeke's going to make. He's already made money. I think he got $15 million guaranteed. He's going to get another 12 in the next 2 years. And then again, Jerry can franchise his ass 2 years from now. So he needs to tread carefully.
Right. Because, I mean, Jerry's shown he's got the fortitude to do this. He's dealt with this. He's dealt with these guys. We'll see. You know, Zeke, man, you got walk around with a belly shirt all day. Get your ass to camp. You're getting paid. Or you know, I mean, just I'm sure Jerry knows Jerry will renegotiate him to a reasonable thing, but he's got to worry about Amari Cooper and Dak. He likes having a three-headed monster. That's worked for him all the years go back there with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith. He would like to have all three of those guys there, but he's not going to be held hostage. Jerry Jones will not be held hostage.
Don't paint him into a corner, because then you got, you know, that you're backing a wounded animal into a corner.
Right,
you're going to get big.
This is exactly what the Dallas Cowboys did not want. Is this is turning into a pissing contest, and it's turning into a pride thing more than it is about money. A few weeks ago, we kind of laughed it off, said, "Oh, Zeke will be here." The more this turns into two guys with pride battling it out, and stubborn guys with pride, the worse off the Cowboys would be. And I had them, you know, I think they're the cream of the crop in the NFC East at the very least. They don't have a lot of competition there, but the longer this drags out, man, it's going to take its toll on the team. So we'll see how that turns out.
I'll dial you back a little bit on that too. I think the Eagles are a very good team. They're talented top to bottom, as long as Carson Wentz is healthy. But the Cowboys, I think, can even withstand a week or two if Zeke doesn't get any. I don't think that's going to happen. I think a week from today, probably you know, 6 days, 5 days before that first game, I think Zeke will sign. Jerry's come out and said he's always going to make him one of the top five, probably the top three paid running backs in the league. And, you know, I think that's where a lot of, you know, ordinary Joes like us, our frustration comes in. I mean, is this guy fucking kidding me? Dude, you're going to take the money, go play football for the Dallas Cowboys and get on with your life, man. Come on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
How hard is it?
Clean up your act and make $100 million selling Nikes and everything else too, because
no doubt.
You're the face of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you're gonna make your money.
How much is Dak Prescott getting from Okinos or whatever he does? Campbell Soup, he does Pepsi. As Troy Aikman made triple the amount of money selling chicken wings in Dallas than he did from Jerry Jones' check. Right. Emmitt Smith, it's got $1 billion in real estate. Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson. The list goes on and on for guys who wore the star and have done ridiculously well after they retired. So, we're kind of splitting hairs, and it just gets frustrating, certainly for me as a Cowboy fan. Number one and number two is just a working Joe. Just, come on, dude. You kidding me?
Right. I think the Cowboys really had high hopes this year. We'll see how that turns out.
Don't piss on my fucking parade already, man. Come on, dude.
I heard that. All right. So moving on, Baker Mayfield's in the news again. The Cleveland Browns seem to be in the news every day, even though they didn't even make it to 500. They were 7-8-1 last year. They haven't had a winning season in a 10,000 years. Baker Mayfield's in the news again. He took a couple jabs. And again, let's preface this by saying I think this is some more non-football season type news, if you want to talk about it. I guess in an article, he kind of took a couple jabs at Daniel Jones over there in New York about how he got drafted so high and things. And so he's kind of caught a shitstorm. You got any thoughts on the?
Let me ask you a question. Did he really take a jab? All he said, he was is anybody aside from Gettleman or the Maris shocked that Daniel Jones went 6 in the draft? I mean, right. All he said was, I was shocked they took him that high. I mean, what? And again, you're spot on with saying it's just, we're trying to fill news. There's 24-hour news, news station. So it's Baker, saying something. It's a GQ article. And again, I'm sure it's GQ just trying to drum up some sales. But I don't know that he took a shot. I mean, everybody, again, except for Gettleman, Daniel Jones' agent, and Damaris were shocked that he went that high. And you're going to be shocked again this time next year when they're looking at a quarterback again. So,
right. Well, we'll see. I'll be honest with you. I think Jones has looked capable so far. I don't know. It's a long way to go. I thought he looked good in week one. I thought last week he had a couple fumbles. I don't know.
Can you feel me shaking my head?
We'll have to go to the video podcast.
Yeah, I hope he plays 16 games. I hope he plays the next 48 games in a row for the Giants.
All right. Well, we're gonna agree to disagree on that one. I think Daniel Jones has got a long way to go. I think as far as Mayfield goes, I don't think this is the biggest thing what he said. I think he was probably making an accurate judgment about him being drafted so high. But it just seems like. This guy's in the news every day. You know, he seems to get a pass for the stuff that he does because he's got moxie and he's this guy. Right. He's an everyday Joe. He chugs beer at the ball game and all this shit that he does. But look, you had a solid rookie year. They got to 500. So far, the Cleveland Browns haven't won shit. So far, he hasn't really won a lot of shit in college. He won some Big 12 championships. He won some Big 12. He won some Big 12 champion. He won some Big 12 championships in an era when there was nobody playing in the Big 12. Not even Texas was not even a factor in the Big 12. Would he beat TCU in the Big 12 championship? He never did anything against the big boys. Daniel Jones went 8-5 for Duke. To me, that's 10 wins with Oklahoma.
Cannot say that with a straight face. There's no way. There is no way you're going to tell me a Duke quarterback is as good as Baker. He won the Heisman, dude. Oklahoma, without Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma was in the conversation.
How'd last year's quarterback do with Oklahoma? Did he win any awards? It's a system. It's a system.
And he played behind Baker Mayfield. Behind Baker Mayfield. That's all right. Lincoln Riley.
Everybody
be
that
the
plays quarterback. Jalen Hurts going to win the Heisman this year. They're going to have 3 in a row. You going to make the same argument next year?
If they, I might against Duke quarterback. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to see how Jones turns out. I'm not piling on Baker Mayfield for this in particular. I'm just saying. I'm getting a little tired of hearing about the Browns. They're like the it team this year. Everybody's all over them. I get it. They love Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Yeah.
What's more annoying, the Baker Mayfield noise or the New Orleans Saints still bitching about that goddamn non-flag?
Dude, you're hitting me.
You want to go on a rant? How about I chop you right down at the legs? How about that? There you go. Bye-ya.
I've had people tell me I'm starting to be a little too hard on the Saints and the Saints
no,
fans.
You're not.
It's a love, you know, the hardest on the people you love sometimes.
I can relate.
That's what this is. So my buddy posts on Thursday. So do they have Academy Sports up there in New Jersey?
No, it's not like a Dick's. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it goes up to the – it's like Midwest up to like right. Michigan stuff. Like
It's like a Dick's. They got all the sports shit.
No sports marketing. Sports like a – sorry, it was.
Right. So my buddy takes a picture the other day. Mike takes a picture, puts it on Facebook. When as soon as you walk in, like the end cap thing there, where they got the usually there'd be all kinds of Zion jerseys and Drew Brees and Kamara jerseys and shit. They got a bunch of referee uniforms as soon as you walk in, and they got a bunch of Saints fans calling for fans to show up to the first game in a referee uniform.
Right.
Now I've been, man. This gets me fired up. I've been having an issue with this crybaby shit since the end of last season. And look, I'm a Saints fan. I'm not just a Saints fan. I'm diehard. I'm a season ticket holder.
There.
I'm in the stadium.
You're there.
They're my fucking. Yeah. They're my team. That's my team. But I've been in a lot of games. I've been through tough wins. I've been through tough losses. I've seen bad calls before. I've seen worse calls than that one was before. This shit with the lawsuit and the crybaby and all this shit, I am just over it. I'm done. I've talked about it before. I'm done. I'm tired of talking about it. This shit. Could you imagine a bunch of damn assholes showing up to the Superdome on opening day with damn referee uniforms on? What a bunch of crybabies.
Academy Sports is laughing to the bank. That marketing genius.
Yeah. Damn striped jerseys. A bunch of striped jerseys. Bunch of zebras.
I'm gonna say it again. Who threw a pick in overtime? Did that call end the game? Nope. Did they miss a kick? Yep. Did Drew Brees throw a pick? They had the ball first in overtime. Come on, man. Let it go.
Opportunities to win that game, Webb.
Yep. Yep.
The bad calls. Look, maybe we've just watched so much. You know, maybe not as many people have seen as many games as us. Felt that pain. It's pain. I get it. I get it as a Saints fan. I feel the pain. I know that feeling in your gut. You're just sick to your stomach. You're sick to your stomach. But man, this is enough. It's enough. Enough is enough. The referee, if I see people in a Superdome on opening, it's a Monday night game against the Houston Texans, and you're going to show up in a damn referee. Whatever happened to what about next year? We'll get them next year. Next year's now. Next year's right now. It's going on. You want the Saints? Is that what you want to do when you walk in the dome? Is remind Drew Brees about the game that you lost last year?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I can't agree more, man.
I don't know if somebody shows up in a damn referee uniform. I don't.
You'll see him.
Oh, they're gonna be there. They think it's fun. They think it's funny. We're showing Goodell.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm gonna wear a Goodell with a Goodell T-shirt with the clown nose on. Fuck you, Goodell.
With the Ghostbusters thing, the circle with the
Goodell's going all the way to and giving Super Bowls to other cities. That's what he's doing.
Yep.
The governor here just announced a $450 million renovation to the Superdome. We're gonna pay $450 million, and then Goodell's gonna say, "Nah, well, that's pretty building you got there, but no more Super Bowls for you. We're due to have 2024 or something like that." Okay. But that'll be it. That'll be it on that.
Shocked you guys lost that bid. Sorry, it's going to Miami.
All right. So see, this is what Webb. I need real football. I need real football.
I talked about
this dude's foot. He got summertime frostbite. I'm talking about his foot and his helmet. Can't do it anymore.
At practice yesterday. He wore that helmet. It's funny how that works.
Back. He's got the helmet. He's ready to go. Well, I saw Hard Knocks, so I know the inside information.
Right.
You watch Hard Knocks and get the inside info. It was pretty funny the other night. They got that Caliendo guy that does the impressions. Yep. So they brought him out. He does the real good John Gruden. So he came out and did a real good John Gruden. That was fun. I thought it was funny too. You ever watch the show TV show Ray Donovan?
Yeah,
Showtime.
Of course.
Oh, that's a good show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ben Schreiber is the narrator on that show. I never knew that. I saw it on the guide, and I'm like, man, what the hell? There must be a mistake on the guide. And then on the credits, he comes up, and he's the guy that narrates it. But I'm so used to, and Ray Donovan, he uses that shitty Boston accent all the time, like that dumbass shit that every time you see Marky Mark in a movie or Ben Affleck, they're using the same shit. They're from the streets of Boston, and they talk like that.
Southie,
that's what they're doing. They're doing Southie. That's what Ray Donovan sounds like. But he sounds like, I couldn't even think it was him. All right, so we're going to move on a little bit about, first of all, I just want to touch on that. We talked about the Florida Gators and the Miami game in the last podcast, and we were super all over this. I can't emphasize enough how much we like we talked about. Webb talked about buying the half a point down to 7. I said, I don't care if it's 7, 7.5, 8.
By 7.
Right. So we're moving on. That's real football. We got real football coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the few games we had in preseason last week in the NFL. We only went 2-3. We started off the week good. We got that first game. Then we ended up good. We got San Francisco, came back over Denver. And so that worked out okay. But we were 2-3. So we're looking to do better on that. But we got a couple games to look at this week coming up. Just wanted to remind you too, man, Webb, there's the sportswatchmonitor.com that we use. That monitors all our bets. You can even buy our picks on there, and you can look at it, see if what we're saying is real. You know, they monitor a bunch of handicappers, and you can check on us. They have a competition this year for NFL and college football between all the handicappers. So, there's odds being put on it by Jazz Casino. I think that's an app, or Jazz is a online sports betting service and stuff like that. So
it's third party.
There's actually odds. So we're a little late to the party because we were we've only joined Sports Watch Monitor about a month or two ago. So we are included in the field, and the odds for that are really cool. You can put it's just interesting. I'll just talk about it real quick. If you go to Jazz Casino, you can put a bet on which NFL handicapper you think will win and which college handicap you think win, and there's all different odds for all of them. But like I said, we're late, so we're in the field. But as far as college, the field is plus 3,400, and
there you go.
The pros, the field is plus 8,500. So that's pretty cool. You can put $100 on that, and you can put $100 on us. And
there
then
you go.
I think I'm gonna be doing that. And I think
you think.
And I'll bet on myself. I bet on all these other jackasses. I might as well try and bet on myself for one. But it's pretty good odds, and we're the field, and shit, if somebody else is in the field wins, we'll win too. But I think we might have a representative here from Sports Watch Monitor on the next podcast, and he's going to talk a little bit about that competition. If anybody wants to put money on us or any other handicapper, they can do that. So let's move on a little bit, Webb, into the preseason last week. So we took Tampa. They won, but they didn't cover. We took, we took San Francisco, and they came back good in the second half of that preseason game Monday night. Garoppolo looked pretty bad, but we were able to pull that one out. Early on in the week, we had the Jets and the Falcons. Man, everything went the way we wanted to in that game, except Matt Ryan played almost the entire first half, and they didn't score at all. That's alarming for the Falcons. You got any takes on these games from last week?
I mean, that was second game. I mean, for the Falcons, that was the third game. I think you're going to see them almost basically shut it down now. I guess my biggest take still is, I mean, the shabbiness or lack of backup quarterback play would be the first thing. And then the lack of scoring, I guess. I mean, you take a look at some of those scores, and I mean, even watching the Cowboys and the Rams, I don't know what they're doing. The defenses cannot be that far ahead from the offenses, especially with the rules that we're saying. We worried about the PI rule. So I'm just not concerned, but it's just interesting to see how I think scoring is down in this preseason. And again, if one of these quarterbacks get hurt, I don't see that whoever that would, unfortunately, that would be. I don't see anyone kind of recovering from that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see. Man, there's only 32 teams in the NFL, and to have, I mean, there's you can arguably say, okay, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, but you can
argue
20 maybe, you know, that you could call a starting.
You could argue less. I would argue less.
And then the backups are so such a drop off. Such a drop off.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you can watch NFL every week, and if a linebacker goes down, you don't even notice it. If you know, there's a handful of guys that obviously, you know, pass run, but yep. The guys change in offensive linemen all the time. They change in you defensive linemen know. Constantly. They're constantly going on. You have no idea. The quarterback play in the NFL in the backups is I mean, you're spot on that. It's just the
biggest drop off. Like you said, there's literally any other position you wouldn't know for plays. And only, you know, if you're there, you know, your guy. I mean, if Jalen Smith, say, went out of the game for a drive, I wouldn't even notice. Right. You know, two drives, maybe I'd start to notice a little bit. But, you know, if Prescott comes out and Cooper Rush has to play, or obviously if Drew Brees comes out of the game, it's just glaring, blatant. So that to me is the biggest, I don't know, the most, you know, thing that stands out the most in terms of the preseason.
Right. And so one of the other losses we had taken the Rams over the Cowboys, and that the Cowboys played pretty well the other night, I thought. And also we took the Ravens. We said that they were on a long win streak in preseason. We took the Ravens, and they played well, I thought. They whooped up on the Packers. Aaron Rodgers didn't play. And that's going to move us into the next week, too. I think we're going to look at some of the Ravens and some other games, too. Did you check out what happened with your Cowboys? Actually showed up and played a little ball this week, I think.
I think that was just who wanted to win the least. And I think the Rams obviously won that. It's funny. This is a nice segue. After our success, you know, making a couple phone calls for the UFC last week, our little bit of a lukewarm preseason football, I made a couple calls to some old school guys that I know from back in the day just to get their feel on preseason football. And it was interesting, a couple different takes. First of all, some teams completely don't, as we discussed, don't really care about preseason. I know the Cowboys, for one, since even the Jimmy Johnson days, they could care less about results of preseason. So we knew that. The other interesting thing was that McVay came up as the number one coach who doesn't care about preseason. So that's the Cowboys and the Rams. So we kind of lost that one. So that was interesting to keep. And then the one thing, the team or the coach, the franchise that values preseason the most is the Ravens and John Harbaugh. So that kind of jives with what we were thinking, but interesting moving forward. And these are some sharps. So that's kind of what we're going to look at, or I was hoping to look at this week, maybe take a look at Baltimore. I think that line right now is 5. What I'm hearing, it could jump to 7 by the time they kick off tomorrow. And then the other thing that was kind of interesting that I heard, unders are huge. Everyone's, these guys are all in the unders. Unders for the game, unders for the first half, and even doubling down on the under in the second half. And then the Raiders treated that game. That was their second preseason game the other day. They treated that like their third. So they're going to play absolutely no one because they're going up to Winnipeg tomorrow to play Green Bay. And it's almost as if Rodgers has to play. So it's going to be almost men against boys up there for that game tomorrow. So I think I like Green Bay tomorrow. It's went down to 2.5, but it's -115. So keep in mind, if you're betting $100, you're going to lose that 115 versus the 110. And if you can get Baltimore minus that -5, I think that's another good play for us, Smith.
Yeah, I love it. I love both of those plays. Not only talking about the Ravens and how well they like to do in preseason, but with the Eagles' quarterback woes. I mean, in preseason, yep. you got to look at backup quarterbacks. If let's say Wentz plays, you know, it used to be you could bank on in the third preseason game, the starters will play a half and maybe come out the first drive in a second half. That's changed a lot here. It seems like the last couple of years. It's hard to really put a point, you know, really pinpoint who's going to play and when. I think Wentz will get some action, but with the backup situation, I don't think he's going to play forever. And man, they just brought in McNown off the street out of retirement. Yep. They had a couple guys got injured. We talked a few weeks ago about how thin everybody was in the backup quarterbacks, but we even mentioned the Eagles in particular, since they lost Foles, how weak they are in that spot. And so you got to figure the whole second half, you know, the Ravens have a shot to really pile up and pile on the Eagles. So I do like that pick with the Ravens. Same with the Packers. Like you said, the Raiders looked great. Again, I saw it on Hard Knocks. and the Raiders. The Raiders absolutely look great.
The HBO against Arizona.
Against Arizona, they absolutely look great. Carr looked good. Everybody looked good. I think, like you said, they played that like they like that was their coming out party because they looked so bad in the first preseason game. So I like that one. Those are both on Thursday night. So a couple other games on Thursday. They got the Falcons and the Skins. They got the Panthers and the Patriots.
What's
and they
going
got
on with the Redskins, man? I don't know. I can't figure them out, man. They got a good D. They got some talent on defense. I mean, I'm not big on them in terms of their wins and losses for the year, but I thought they'd come out and play better, especially Haskins played a little bit. I was surprised how, I guess, uninspired and how just lackluster that the defense was. I mean, they got some ballers on that team.
Well, I think they just don't know who's going to play quarterback. I think they got, you know,
the defense.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Haskins is in there. He's a guy with, he's going to be up and down with his rookie. I don't think he's going to get time right off the bat. He's going to be, you know, they got Colt,
he's hurt.
Keenan's going to be the guy.
He's going to be at least a while.
Right. Yep. No doubt. And so we'll see what happens there. We both talked about before that we're not big fans of Gruden as a coach. So we'll see how that goes. But as far as preseason there, I don't know. And man, we were on the Falcons last week and we got, man, if you bet on a team in preseason and you got a quarterback like Matt Ryan and he plays the whole first half, man, that's all you can ask for. You know, yep. Sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. But that's all you can ask for. The guy came out, played almost the whole first half, and they didn't do anything until Schaub came in the last 2-minute drive, I think, of the first half, and that's when the Falcons finally scored. But nothing. So we'll move on to Friday. We talked about Mayfield. You got the Browns and the Buccaneers. Interesting. I just wanted to point out last week we talked about Indy and the Browns were playing, and Indy was favored by 3, and we talked about it. We said, man, this line just does not seem right. And this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about before. And that doesn't always mean you jump on one side or jumping on the other. We thought if anything, the Browns should have been favored by 3. Sure enough, you turn on the game last week and Mayfield's not playing. You know, so right away, that was a good move by us to stay off. Now, Indy, I mean, the Browns did end up winning and covering. But those are the kind of things, if you listen here long enough, I mean, those are the kind of things, if you watch long enough, the too good to be true usually is, and so you really got to keep an eye on it for that. I was glad that as soon as the game kicked off and Mayfield didn't come out, we knew that was what the number was, where it was at, and so I was pretty proud that we stayed off of that. Obviously, didn't bounce that way during the game, but at least we were off of that and didn't risk it. But the Browns are favored at the Buccaneers by 3 in this one.
Now, this is game 3 for both. I still, I don't know, is Beckham and Landry going to play? I still, down there, it's the big deal in Tampa. Tampa Bay plus 3. I'm still leaning towards the Bucs. I think that they just need some positivity, particularly from Jameis. And Arians is still trying to get that culture changed. They do have playmakers. I'm not sure if Mike Evans is going to play. But I think, still being preseason, I would still... You know, I typically go the way the line goes. I think in that game, not a big lean, but I would take the plus 3 there.
Yeah, I like that. We talked a little bit about how we thought this would be a team that definitely makes improvement over last year. If I think Bruce Arians can work with Jameis a little bit and get him to lose some of that, you know, his tendencies to turn the ball over and things like that, and
His stupidity is going to be an asset. His stupidity is going to turn. He's going to spin that positive, and Bruce Arians is going to whisper in his ear, and all that knuckleheadness is going to be good.
Again, that remains to be seen. I am a huge fan of Arians, so we'll see how that turns out. They also have the Bills and Lions. I'm not showing anything on the ESPN app right now as far as a number goes. Maybe there's some question of who will be playing in that game. You move on to Saturday night. We got the Cards and the Vikings. Vikings are pretty heavily favored at home against the Cards in that one. I think Kyler Murray ran into a buzzsaw last week. Like you said, the Raiders really came to play. And obviously, a rookie, you're going to have some growing pains.
Jeez, 6.5. That's a big number for a preseason game. I don't know. And even Kingsbury came out and said some crazy, like they weren't trying to play with any sense of urgency, or he said something along those lines. I don't know what he was saying, what he was trying to maybe he's just trying to take the heat off his guys, but I don't know what his point was in saying that. I'm telling you, dude, that team is going to struggle. I think they, what, 3 wins last year. They're not getting to the 6 or the 5 that they're
Everybody talks about their offense and Kyler Murray. Their defense is not good, and so that's just going to emphasize the issues with a rookie quarterback and rookie play caller and all that kind of stuff. I think they are the Cardinals.
Smith, it's the offensive line. It's the offensive line. They got Patrick Peterson, but I think he's suspended, and they have Chandler Jones, who's a baller. But that offensive line is probably going to be the worst in football. He's going to be running for his life, which he can do, but they're not going to get to 5 wins or 6 wins.
Right, I agree. They got the Battle of Texas Saturday night. That'll be on the NFL Network. It's all even line-wise. It's a pick. That's the Texans and Cowboys. Webb's made it known that he doesn't think the Cowboys show up to play in preseason. You got any look? I think they don't show up to play in preseason, but I also think Jerry Jones doesn't want to lose in his backyards to the Texans, so that might be something to think about.
It's funny. They lost the first game ever to the Texans. First game the Texans ever played, they beat the Cowboys. Actually, David Carr was a quarterback for the Texans in Dallas, actually. I won't forget that one. I'm going to punt on this game. I don't know. The Cowboys are going to play, but, I mean, Tyron Smith isn't going to play. Obviously, Zeke isn't there. Dak will play maybe, almost a half. Amari's not playing. I don't know who's going to obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence isn't playing. Byron Jones isn't playing. Again, I don't know. Cowboys have bigger fish to fry. I don't know that the Texans don't either. I'm going to punt on this one. If you gun to my head, I would just take the Texans, I guess, I'd rather pick.
All right. Moving on. We got the Bears and the Colts, the Andrew Luckless Colts. And both teams are 0-2 in the preseason so far. I'm not sure if anything's looking good on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these are getting, this is get down. It's a good thing. I feel really strong about the Green Bay and Baltimore game, and I'm glad that we got Saturday coming with some real football, and then for the college, and it's right around the corner again on Thursday. So, I mean, our biggest plays, I think, would be actually, I'm looking here. I see the Broncos maybe +1.5 against the Rams down the line a little bit. That may be another one, but I do like the two we discussed there. These other teams, I think, and Eagles, like you're spot on with the Eagles. They're terrified to get a quarterback hurt. They don't want to play that game tomorrow. No way, no how. Again, they're looking towards, they just signed Wentz. They want to get back to where they think they should be deep into the playoffs. They don't want to play any of these preseason games.
Right.
I think a couple of these, more than a handful of these teams feel the same way. So,
I agree with you. Let's take a look at the Broncos real quick since you brought it up. They're 1-2. They had the extra preseason game, but Flacco played just a little bit last week. I think he's going to get a lot more time this week. They're catching 1.5 from the Rams, who obviously have shown that they don't really care about preseason. I think we'll go and pop the Broncos on at that Sports Watch Monitor, no doubt, +1.5. The Saints and Jets. Peyton came out today and said that Drew Brees would play. I'm not real big fan of that because I don't think there's any real reason for it, but I would like to see, I mean, I've mentioned that before about maybe getting another arm in camp. Obviously it's too late for that. They should have done that a long time ago. They let JT Barrett go. He could have been a guy to take some practice load off of Drew Brees at this point in his life. And also would keep Taysom Hill off the field in the preseason. As it's set up now, Taysom Hill is going to play a whole bunch again. Everybody, like, They've obviously shown they don't care about preseason, other than Taysom Hill, who went out and played like a superstar in the second half last week. But meanwhile, he's getting hurt, and he's the only starter still out there in the field. So I'll let that be known. As far as the play in this one, the Saints are not looking to do much. They're laying 3 points. Just because Brees plays, I don't think will mean much. Saints are trying to get out of this preseason injury-free. I think they've shown that a bunch of times. The Jets have actually looked decent in this preseason so far, I thought. But I don't know. You think taking any sides on that one?
That's a tough one. I think your boy Taysom Hill, I know it's another hot button here, I think he's going to get a long look. I think they're seriously considering him for the back to be the heir apparent at this point. I guess Bridgewater is a free agent. He's going to demand some dollars next year. I think that's kind of what's going on. They're looking at Hill to see if he can be the replacement for Drew Brees. The Jets, I think they did play well. They're pretty deep, I think, at the quarterback position, too. Again, gun to my head, I would take the Jets +3, but I don't have a real strong feel one way or the other.
All right, just a couple more run down real quick. They got the Chargers and Seahawks and the Steelers and Titans. Not sure. A lot of veteran quarterbacks in those games. Not really looking to do much but get out of there uninjured. So far, we got the Ravens, the Packers.
Let's look at the what do you think about the Titans? That's Mariota's going to play probably a half, I guess. This is their third game. That's a guy kind of fighting for his life. He's got Tannehill behind him. I'm sure chomping at the bit, waiting for Mario to kind of step on himself there a little bit. So I think the Titans may be a decent play there, -3.
That's cool, and I like Tannehill as a capable backup to come in there in a second, right. Plays in the second half or something like that. He can get some things done, and what I especially like is he can get some things done with his legs too.
Yeah,
when things break down and an offensive line's messed up or the receiver runs the wrong route, he can do some things with his legs as well.
And I would assume, all things being equal, he's going to push to play as much as possible. He wants to showcase himself, not just to the Titans, but to whoever's out there looking for a quarterback even going into next year. So that may be a decent play too, the Titans. That Chargers game, I think that they're still rocked by the loss of Derwin James. I don't know that, again, this is another, I don't want to keep going saying the same thing, but this is another team that just, is probably annoyed and more than anything that they got to play another game now and risk some of their frontline guys to get hurt. But an interesting one, Smith, is that KC Niners game. Some of the stuff we've been hearing is how much Andy Reid, another one of these guys that kind of values the preseason, especially early on, versus the Niners, and Garofalo's got to do something positive, man. The guy, he's colorblind. He can't throw to the right team. So I don't know. That line's 3.5. I mean, the Niners desperately want him to do something positive, and as stacked as the Chiefs are, and how Reed handles the preseason, that's an interesting game. Not that I have a feel real one way or the other, but just interesting.
Right. That might be one of those where the starters really do play the whole first half. You get a good read on what these guys are doing. Garoppolo, after such high hopes going into last year, and then he gets hurt. He's got to show better than he did last week. Just so the team can rally around and get ready to play in
something positive. Right. They got to get some type of confidence in him. They got this and one more, and then it's for real. So I mean that's a meaningful game at this point for the Niners. So
right, interesting. All right, well, we're coming to the close here. Before we do, we're excited. We got real football. Webb, how much is it great to be a Florida Gator this week?
It's great.
The NCAA schedule makers have given you a free win on a silver platter. We've given you a free win on a silver platter. I hope I don't eat my words.
Courtesy of the wager makers.
Yes. The next time we'll be after that game. So feel free to send us emails or message us. If things don't turn out the way we said, it's always can go the other way. Don't the old 1-800 gambling. If you don't, if you have a problem, don't bet the house on these things. Don't lose your bill money or anything like that.
No mortgages are
come up the disclaimers here.
This is a little disclaimer. Exactly.
For entertainment purposes only at the Wager Makers. But if I was doing it for more than entertainment, I would go with the Florida Gators this week. I'm just saying.
That's already done. That's done. I got a question before we leave. I'll leave us for any question. Yeah. Anybody, any questions on sports gambling, baseball in particular, what the odds mean, laying 120, 125, or buying a half, please shoot us an email or whatever. And we'd get back to you right away. Question I have for you, Smith, and the listeners is, can or will a 2-loss team make it to the college football playoff?
Oh, I think they can.
Let's ponder.
We're going to ponder that and talk about it next week?
Ponder?
Well, that's going to be our question.
That. Little teaser. That's your teaser for you. Come on, man.
Okay, good. I just got put on the spot there. I was going to have to come up with some bullshit. At least now maybe I can research a little bit. That sounds good. Especially down here in SEC country, I think it's a possibility, but I'll leave it at that right now.
It can happen.
It's happened. It's happened. LSU has been the beneficiary of that situation once before.
All right. Let's see for that.
All right. Good question. I'll be thinking about that all week as I'm watching the Gators win money. So everyone, thank you very much. We got into a lot this week, man. by next week, well, we'll still have preseason. We'll still have preseason, but by next week podcast, we'll be talking about a whole slate of NCAA college football games coming up the following week, and our picks and our takes. We'll be going over, you know, conference schedules and teams that we like in each conference, and really getting into college football, because now it's for real. Don't forget, you can check out our stuff on sportsmonitor.com. And don't forget, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, and Stitcher. Look, guys, if you like the podcast, if you think it's fun, if you like checking out our Facebook page, share it to a friend. Tell two friends, like the old commercial. He told two friends, and he told two friends. That's how this thing's going to go. So, Weber, say good goodbye word. To millions of people out there.
Thanks, guys. Hit us up.
All right, Web, talk to you later. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, we are the Wager Makers. Take care.